Our gospel lesson today comes from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 6, verses 19 through 21. I do invite you to rise if you're able for the reading of the gospel. Jesus says, "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust consume, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust consumes, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. Over the past 3 weeks, we've been delving into our everyday acts of faithfulness, the ways we work to build God's kingdom here and now through our actions and activities of prayer and being present and works of service. We've seen how when we put our whole selves in to God's work through these channels, not only is our faith strengthened, but the ministry of the church is enhanced, helping us to do together what we might have never achieved on our own. We've been building word clouds throughout the weeks with the slips of paper in your bulletin, and you do have another slip this week. We'll talk about that later. But our service word cloud is before us today, and I know that you are too far away to see anything on it. So I'll share with you a couple of the words that you'll see on there. You'll see crop walk and backpack crew and lunch break as different organizations and ways, missions of acting in service and servanthood to the church and to the community particularly. But there's other things on there about using our own giftedness, like listening and being a big brother or a big sister, looking into the potential for mission trips, particularly in hurricane relief mission trips. Some of those different things are there, but I'm going to encourage you to look for yourselves, because like 5 or 6 of them. There are so many more, and there are ways for you to start thinking about what your pledge, your service pledge, will be next Sunday when we bring our pledge cards back. How many of you received a pledge card in the mail? Okay, don't forget to bring that back with you next week and look at it again. You'll see that there's a spot for prayers and presents, gifts, service, and witness, as well as the financial contribution to support the church for the coming year. This week, we'll turn to our financial gifts that we offer and how we faithfully live with our money and other financial resources in our lives. Like Elaine said, it's hard to talk about money, especially in church. How many of you is like, money's your favorite thing to talk about with your friends or when you go out or when you come into church? Yeah, no, nobody likes to talk about it. But Jesus talked about money more than he talked about love. Wow. We love to lift up those love verses. And so we think he said more about love because we say them all the time. We read them all the time. We point to them all the time because they make us feel good. It feels good to love, to give our love away freely, generously. But to hear what Jesus said about money doesn't always make us feel good. In fact, it makes us uncomfortable. But why did he talk about it so much? Well, he talked about it because he knew that it has power over us. It has power over our lives for good or for evil. He knew that we rely on money. We put our trust in our finances for our security and for our well-being, even sometimes for our identity. Sometimes we rely on and trust in money more than we rely on and trust in God. In our gospel reading, Jesus reminds his followers of the power of money. Where we put our resources, our hearts will follow. When Jesus said, "Where your treasure lies, there your hearts will be also," he was reminding his followers how we choose to spend our money reflects our values and what we hold dear. When we live our lives without being intentional about allowing our faith or encouraging our faith to impact and influence our choices, our financial choices, we more often than not slip into an all about us mindset without even realizing it. I want you to think about where your money goes week in and week out on a monthly basis. Housing, grocery bills, transportation, insurance, medical care, education, utilities, entertainment, going out to dinner, vacations, paying down accumulated debt. All this sounds familiar to each of us, right? If our money goes where our heart goes, it goes to our house, our food, our education, our entertainment, our travel, our vacation. It's a whole lot of hours. Where and when in our budgets, in our list of financial priorities, does Jesus come in? Where does the mandate to share our resources, to feed the poor, to contribute to God's ministry in the church, where does that fall in the list of our financial priorities? And don't get me wrong, my family is just like yours. There's times that we have to spend a certain amount, and we want to spend less on utilities and the basics and the cost of food and insurance. We want to spend less on that, but we can't. There's only so low you can go with some of it. Some of it is just basic necessity. I get it. Trust me. But where within our budgets do we make intentional choices to spend wisely, to save our resources so that we might give more for God's work through our church? John Wesley, the founder of Methodism, preached a sermon about our relationship with money and how we are to live faithfully with our financial resources. It was called The Use of Money. He said this: God calls us to earn all we can, to save all we can, and to give all we can. I've heard people say, These three things build on each other: earn, save, give. They build on each other because you can't give all you can unless you're earning all you can, and saving all you can. I've heard people in church, after an offering plate is passed, say, "I just don't have much to give." And that might be true. But if you are waiting until the collection plate is passed to begin thinking about what you're able to give back to God, you're not making giving to God's work a real priority in your life and in your budget. You're giving God your leftovers rather than your first fruits. In Wesley's first argument, he encouraged us to use the gifts and graces that God has made within us to accumulate as much as we can. That sounds a little funny. For Wesley, this has much more to do with the quality and the amount of our work, what we're willing to work for and towards, than it does the type of job or the level of your salary. It's essentially, do the best you can, work as hard as you can to make what you can. He's careful to add qualifications to earning more. Our earning all we can should never be at the expense of someone else, causing harm to ourselves or our neighbor in body, mind, or spirit. Christians are to prosper in business by sheer diligence, by ingenuity and excellence in the use of their various skills, not by bringing another person or company down. It's supposed to be the quality of our work that brings us up. Anything else violates the commandment to love your neighbor. So we work to bring in these financial resources that help us not only survive in this life, paying for those things that are necessary, like housing and food and education and medical care, but earning enough so that there is extra. Which leads us to the second point. Save all you can. For Wesley, this doesn't mean putting extra money in your savings account or shoving it away in your 401k or whatever. Saving all you can means being frugal, making choices to spend less, if that's possible. How many of us go out to dinner? How often do we go out to dinner? Too much. A meal prepared at our homes is usually significantly cheaper than a meal purchased at a restaurant. We all know that. While some do not like to cook or say they don't have time to cook, there is a choice that goes along with eating out. How many of us go to Starbucks? Wow, not many of you do. Or other coffee joints or whatever where you pay $4 to $6 for a cup of coffee. Not to mention the snacks that go with it. How much would we save if we just brewed a cup of coffee at home? Choices. Or got a Wawa coffee for a dollar, right? Sorry. When was the last time you really looked hard at your spending? Your actual spending. Not what you wish you spent when you make a budget, but after the month is over. What you've actually spent to see where the money goes. How many times you stopped at a convenience store for a snack? How many times you stopped at Starbucks for a drink? How many times you ate out when you could have eaten at home? Rarely are we as frugal as we could be. We like the extras, the conveniences, the luxuries. And when we're buying something, usually we go for that something new because we like the new shine and the new smell of a new car or new clothes as opposed to something used or secondhand. Wesley reminds us that the whole purpose of earning and saving is so that you may give all you can to support the most basic needs of those who lack for means of health and safety and food and shelter, doing the work of the kingdom building. Wesley insists that such giving is not a matter of charity, but of duty. When we use our resources to indulge our desires instead of meeting the needs of the poor, we do not merely miss an opportunity to do good. Wesley argues, and it's a little rough, he argues that we rob God. And he's pulling from Old Testament scripture here. He's not coming up with this by himself, that we rob God, taking what God has entrusted to our management and turning it from its purposes, from which it was originally intended. So how much are we to give? Wesley says, give as much as you can. The biblical mandate is the tithe, the first 10% of our income for God's work in the lives of others and through the ministry of the church. Now, if you are not already a tither, I know that 10% sounds like a lot. Especially if you're used to putting $5 or $10 or even $20 in the plate. But I invite you to really think through how much it would be. Grab a pen and paper, and jot down what your income is. Take out a calculator and calculate out what 10% would be on a monthly basis. Or if you know how to slide a decimal point, take that total monthly income and slide the decimal point one space over to the left. That's 10%. Really calculate it out. And then ask yourselves honestly, is that possible? What would have to change in my everyday life for that to be possible? And if it's not, can I work toward it? If you're already there, are you able to give as much as you can, to stretch your generosity a little farther, going above and beyond that biblical tithe for God's kingdom building? In a minute, I'm going to invite you to take out those slips, so you can take them out now if you'd like, but we're going to be reflecting on our current level of giving, as well as our goal pledge for next year. Now, I want to remind us, as we take these slips out, you're not writing your name on this. No one is grading you or judging you or looking at this as, oh, they're not, No. That's not what this is for. This is for you to process through, to think and to reflect and to dream. And do know that the pledge side will become a word cloud, okay? So maybe throw some words in there. Help me out a little. As we're thinking through this, I do want to point something out. One of Wesley's words strikes me as a little too heavy, particularly heavy of heart. He calls giving an obligation. It shouldn't feel like an obligation. How much do we have fun with obligations? Blech. They're forced. Giving, generosity, offering back for God's work should never feel forced. It should feel joyful. We should give out of love. Give out of thanksgiving for what we have already received. Give out of hope for what is yet to happen and what might be made possible by your generosity. There's a hopefulness in giving, a joy in giving for what is yet to come. So we invite you to be cheerful givers, cheerful dreamers, hope-filled pledgers. Because there is so much more to pledging to God's work through the church than simply our budget, our building. It's part of it. But it's so much more than that. It's about celebrating a community that is vibrant and thriving. It's about a vision for our future together and building into a future ministry that we can dream about and act on. It's about transforming hearts and lives, ours and those all around us, by the amazing ministries of this church. And we wouldn't be able to accomplish any of that without all of our joyful generosity. As we reflect on and pray about our pledge goal for the coming year, it is my prayer that you may find joy in generosity and anticipate with hope God's kingdom work that we are accomplishing together here through our church and our generosity. Amen.